The Lord tonight, I called ahead of time, and I got with the song leader and all the songs that be sung tonight.
Go ahead, brother.
How about having me a coming part sitting over there? I'm glad for the Holy Ghost.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Turn, if you would, the Old Testament scriptures tonight, the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 4. While you're turning there, I'll say this briefly. I shared this at the church, I guess it was this past weekend, and some of you are going to get mad at me right here. we got all kinds of critters down at my place, I love the Lord, and I'm glad, listen to me, it's special to be in His house.
Right. Yes.
But man, even when He just shows up everywhere else, amen. And I was out there the other day, and we somehow or another, my oldest daughter, amen, she brought home 3 little ducks, and she said, "Dad, ain't these the cutest little things? Oh, they're just lovely. They're just nice." And now I've got 3 full-grown ducks who do nothing but make a mess. But anyway, so I was out there the other day, and I was putting some, we don't got no pond. We got a little pool they get in, all right? And so I was out there putting water in that, and we got a bunch of chickens, too, and I just stand there watching them, and I give one of them chickens come through there by me, I give it a good bath.
Yeah.
If you ain't ever seen a wet chicken, brother, along come them ducks in just a minute.
Yeah.
Belt off in that water. They belt off in that water. I mean, you ever watch them real close?
Yeah.
It just beat up and roll right off their back.
Right.
I told them down at church Sunday, I said, "I'd rather be a wet chicken for the Lord."
Yeah. Yeah.
When the Holy Ghost shows up, Brother Dustin, it's evident on my life,
right. So
others can see there's been a difference,
yeah. And
there's been a change, amen. It'll be evident if you've got the Holy Ghost living on the inside, amen. I say praise the Lord for the Holy Ghost, amen. I ask you, which category do you fall in tonight when you come to church, when you leave? Every time you come, whether it's me or Brother Kevin, this church house is packed full of good preachers tonight. And y'all are blessed here, brother. But when you come and when you leave, I tell you, it ought to be evident that you've sat in the presence of the Lord.
Yep.
Amen. Now after service on that Sunday morning, there was a lady that come to me, and she said, "Here I have been fussing on my kids for wetting down the chickens, and now the preacher got up and does it." And she said, "They ain't ever going to quit now." Amen. Nehemiah tonight, chapter number 4.
Oh, yeah.
You pray for us. As far as I know, I've never preached on this thought. God has so stirred my heart with it. It's elementary. Just elementary preaching to you tonight. But just want to, I can only preach what the good Lord gives us. And so you pray for us that God would help us and anoint us tonight, for we're nothing without Him. Nehemiah chapter number 4, going to read just 3 verses here tonight and bring a little thought out. Verse number 7, pick up here in the beginning portion of this chapter, Nehemiah chapter 4. And verse number 7, if you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
Verse 7 says this: "But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them." Let's pray briefly. Lord, we ask You, God, to come tonight, Lord. I realize how good and how faithful and how wonderful, God, that You are. I realize, oh Lord, that certainly I am nothing. I pray, God, You'd help us tonight just for a few moments. God, I'm convinced, Lord, You know the heart, God, of everybody in this building, God, and where they stand with You. I pray, God, You'd help us tonight, Lord. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, God, the Word of God would speak to the heart, Lord. I pray, God, You'd just come and anoint my feeble lips of clay. Hide me behind the cross of glory. We pray, God, that Your will, Your way would be done. Stir our hearts tonight, God. I pray, Lord, help me to preach it with all the zeal, God, that You'd have me to. I pray, say no more, no less than what You have me to. Lord, Thy will be done. Your blessed name we pray tonight. Hide me behind the cross of glory, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'd like to preach in a few moments with the help of the Lord tonight. Really on one word in this portion of Scripture tonight that the Lord stirred me with some time ago. And it has so helped me, and maybe just the last few weeks and month, I guess. And let me say this real quick. Be faithful to read the Word of God. Don't just come and listen to what the preacher reads and what he says, but be faithful to read the Word of God. But I'd like to preach with the help of the Lord tonight, just in a few moments, on the first word found in verse number 9, and what is said here in the Word, nevertheless. I'd like to preach tonight, the help of the Lord, on being a nevertheless Christian. I thought maybe you Bible readers know we picked up here in Nehemiah in chapter number 4. You can begin the reading in Nehemiah in chapter number 1. And you read of the times that was going on, what was going on, and how the walls was broken down in Jerusalem. And Nehemiah had heard about these things and how he was heartbroken by the things that he heard. Let me say this tonight. On Wednesday night, I don't know the heart of anybody here, but I listen to me. There's a God in heaven who sees the heart of every man and woman and boy and girl in this building tonight. And he knows where you're at with the Lord. And I'm convinced that he knows what he's doing tonight, all right? And so Nehemiah, his heart was broken. And it seems like on Wednesday night, we preach to the home team. We preach to the church choir and what we call the faithful few. And that's good. Thank God you're here. But let me say this. Sometimes when we look around and see what the so-called church of today has been and what it's becoming, amen, really our hearts ought to be broken. Let me tell you something. I thank God. Listen to me. I'm glad to know what the Holy Ghost is tonight. I'm glad to know, Brother Delbert, what it feels like myself. I don't just have to sit on the pew and see Brother Kevin get excited, or see what Brother Matt's got, or see Sister Irene get up and sing and the Holy Ghost fill her up. But yet every now and again, he fills me up. And it's real on the inside. I say this, when we look around and see the condition of the church today, our hearts ought to be broken. Listen to me. I thought about this. I hope you don't get mad at me. I love you. I'm here to tell you, somebody the other day was talking, somebody said, "Preacher, did you see what was going on down to CMA?" That's, by the way, that's Country Music Award. I said, "No, I didn't know what was going on down there." And they said, "You know about Jelly Roll?" I said, "I like to eat Jelly Rolls." But they said, "You hear about Jelly Roll?" And some guy by the name of Brandon Lake, I didn't know who it was, so I looked it up. And they said they was down there praising the Lord. And I said, "Hold on a minute, hold on." They said, "Have you ever heard that song, Heartfall Hallelujah?" I said, "I ain't never heard that song, but I've had some Heartfall Hallelujahs." So this is what I've done. I just wanted to see what it's all about. I called that fellow back up and I said, "Listen to me, that ain't worshiping the Lord. We've went so far today." Amen. I say, God help us. And you say, "Preacher, who's responsible?" We are. Amen. You say, "Listen to me, thank God that you got a pastor, you got a preacher who'll preach you the truth, line upon line, and precept upon precept. Get behind him and back him." Amen. But I say this, somewhere or another, you got to be more than just a hearer of it yourself. You can say, listen to me, Brother Delmer Savage over here, he's a hero of mine. Brother Delmer can get up and preach that he's blue in the face. And listen to me, he can preach on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and we can just preach you plumb to death. And unless you take hold of it and become a doer of it, it won't benefit you one bit. Yep. Nevertheless, Nehemiah saw the condition and how things was, and how things had become, and his heart was broken, and he had a burden. Let me say this as well. We'll get into the message in a moment. I thought really we ought to be burdened for our lost family members. Yeah, that's right. Listen to me, folks. I'm honest with you, folks are headed for hell at breakneck speed, and it doesn't even seem to faze us. Some of them is family members. Some of them is our next door neighbors. And I wonder if we ever mention it. Jesus is the greatest thing. They ought to be more amens than that. I said, Jesus is the greatest thing. Amen. Listen to me. We don't talk near enough about him, the one who can save their soul and change their eternal destination. It's already been said tonight. You've got to be born again. You know, let me say this real quick. He doesn't just come to those who's rich.
Right. Thank God.
If he did, I'd have been left out. Amen. He don't just come by some, amen, who's got a wonderful last name or because of their heritage. He came unto his own and his own received him not, but to as many as would receive him, to them gave he power to become. I like this, Brother Dustin. He gave us power to become sons of God. We became heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that blesses me. Listen, you say, preacher, who in the world? If you was to call Donald Trump up tonight or some of the congressmen or senators and you said, do you know Kent Nance? They'd say, I have no idea who in the world that is. Who's Kent Nance? He's a nothing. He's a nobody. Let me stop it there and say this. We've gotten too big for our britches today. And we think we're something. We put on our nice clothes, amen, and we'll stick our chest out. And you ladies will put your makeup on. You'll think you're hot stuff. I love y'all. Amen. Listen to me. And you'll think, my, I'm this, I'm that. But without him, we are nothing. We ain't nothing. Brother Lindsay sings a song. A speck of dirt is all I am. Nothing worthy of the Lamb. But by his mercy and his grace. My precious Savior, prepare to please. I'm here to tell you now, we ain't nothing but dirt. But thank God, listen to me, one day there was a King in glory who looked down. He saw this speck of dirt that I am. I like this. He looked over there. Let me just stop right there and say this. You know what they said one time? I done some studying and reading up. He said that the average man weighs about 175 to 195 pounds. I don't know where they come up with them statistics at, bro. Amen. But I don't know if Sandy Ward's here tonight or not. Brother Dustin or not, you tell her I said this. Dustin done laughing. She said I was the fattest Nance she ever did see. I ain't no more. Hallelujah. But she said the average, they said that the average man weighs 175 to 195 pounds. They said if you weigh that amount out in minerals and sediments, that amount would only be worth about 15 to 18 cents.
Right. Yes.
You hear me tonight? The shoes you got on, it's worth more than the feet that's hit them. You hear me tonight? The breeches that you got on, hey man, they're worth more than what you got in them tonight. But thank God there's a King of glory, Brother Amber, who one day looked down at this little speck of dirt. And man, he looked down at this little speck of dirt and he saw something he can make of it. Hey man, listen to me. I was headed, Brother Chris, I was headed up for sudden destruction and utter death. But thank God. Listen to me. Jesus stepped over onto my dirt. And when he did that, listen to me. You know what God, you know what he done? I was guilty.
Me too, preacher.
I was guilty, amen. Sudden death was headed my way. And Jesus said, he said, stop. There is therefore, Romans 8, chapter number 8, verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Don't tell me you ain't got to be born again. Amen. And whenever he looked down at my dirt and he said this, he said, I see something I can make. You ever look sometimes? Brother Gavin up here was talking about buying some property a while back. Hey, man, listen, you know what we do whenever we look at a piece of property sometimes? We'll look at it and we begin to envision things sitting on it. Maybe we're going to build a house or put a business or something there. And we look at it and we say, well, I can do this or I can do that right over here, right over there. I'm glad there was a king one day who looked down to this little piece of dirt, Brother Chris, and he said, hey, I see something I can do with that if you'll just be willing. Listen to me tonight. You don't have to have a famous last name. You don't have to be known by anybody in this county. There's a king in heaven who knows your name tonight, and he knows where you're at, and he wants your dirt tonight. Nehemiah saw the condition of the walls of Jerusalem and how they was broken down. With the help of the Lord tonight, I'd like to preach on being a nevertheless Christian. The word nevertheless means this, in spite of that.
Right. Oh, yeah.
However, and I don't want you to forget what that means tonight. I want you to notice tonight that now Nehemiah has took it upon himself, him and these children of Israel, they're down there, these men, some of those that come together now, and man, they, let me say this, we need to come together. It ain't about Stockton. It ain't about Amazing Grace, but it's all about Him. Amen. And the Bible says, He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. We don't need to worry about trying to lift me up or somebody else, but just lift up Jesus. Amen. He's worked for all these years. He's going to continue to work, as Brother Kevin said. I'm here to tell you tonight, we all just need to come together, begin to get in this thing, Brother Denver, and work. We got just a little bit of time left. I believe the Lord's soon to return. He can come back tonight. Amen. The old song said, where would you be if Jesus come back 5 minutes ago? Nehemiah saw the condition and what was going on, and his heart was broken. They come together and begin to work. Let me say this tonight. I'm preaching to the church. I'm preaching to Amazing Grace tonight. I don't know your heart tonight, but there's a God in heaven who looks down and sees your heart tonight, and He knows all things. And I say this to you tonight. Whenever we got saved, whenever we got born again, I'm glad one day I got the call, brother.
Amen.
And one day I got the invitation, Brother Chris, and he came by my way, and thank God I accepted the call. But whenever I got in this thing, I began a warfare. I mean, I'm glad He is a friend, amen, that sticks closer than any brother. Amen, He's always faithful. Brother Wayne, He's always there. I mean, thank God. And listen to me, but let me tell you something. Still, sometimes we go through some hardships and we go through some trials. And it seems like, I don't know why, but it seems like sometimes, even as pastor, in the years that I've been pastoring, and people, I go knock on the doors, and some who was faithful to come, up mine, listen to me, somewhere or another, they get where they think the church ain't that important no more. I'm going to tell you something, another church, we still need the church house. We still need the preaching of God's word. The Bible says that God chose through the foolishness of preaching. Amen. Listen to me, we still need to hear the preaching of God's word. We still need to go there and hear the old songs of Zion. And listen to me, every now and again it'd be all right. If Brother Joe or Sister Susie, I'm just using them names, if they get blessed and God shows up in the midst, we still need those things. You know what this is? This is a spiritual refueling station. We need to be faithful down to the house of God. But it seems like that in most churches today, that whenever they hit hardships or they hit trials, that the first person that they want to quit on or that they want to give up on seems to be the Lord. But I want to preach to you tonight on some men in the Bible, amen, and mention just a few of them, amen, who are some nevertheless Christians. And we need some, listen to me, I won't preach here, I promise I'll try my best to be real brief tonight. But I notice the key word to my phrase. It was a three-letter word. I said try, T-R-Y. I didn't say I would, but I said I would try, all right? And I'm afraid today, listen to me, Daddy, what your children really need to see is a nevertheless Christian. I mean, our children are watching us. They're watching you. I wonder sometimes. So let me just stop right there and say this. I believe this. I believe we've got them in every church you want to go in. There's a lot of folks sitting in the church pews, Brother Kevin, really what they need is a good dose of salvation.
That's right.
I believe it, Brother Joe. Listen, what they need to be is be born again. Yeah. Just sitting on the church pew won't get you into heaven. Hey, man, you can take your billfold out every Sunday morning. You can even put a little extra in the plate and make you feel. And by the way, the devil will pat you on the back and he'll say you've done a good job. He'll say you're doing real good. You put an extra 20 in there. You didn't even have to. You're doing real good. And buddy, he'll make you feel real good about it. But when you go out those doors, our children are watching us. I said this, thank God for some daddies and mamas down through the years who's been a nevertheless Christian. Amen. That no matter what come their way, not listen to me, in spite of that, or however hard it got, they was going to serve God. Amen. Our churches today are filled with wishy-washy church pew members.
You're right. Yes.
I understand that we all have hard times. I do. If we all be honest, we could all raise our hand tonight. But what we must be is determined in spite of that, or however hard it may get. Nevertheless, we're going to just serve God. Daddy, your children are watching you. It seems like that the younger generation of today, that they get older, and mom and daddy's been taking them to church, and I understand that children, when they reach age of accountability, whatever that might be, whatever age, amen, that God speaks to their heart, I don't know, amen, what that age is, I don't know. But I'll say this, whenever God speaks to them and they make the choice and they make the decision, amen, of what they're going to do with Jesus, amen, it becomes up to them, amen. If I can make it for mine, if you can make it for yours, my, we'd do it just the day that they was born, amen. But somewhere or another, they've got to decide within themselves, amen, that they want to accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. But let me say this, I'm concerned about our young people today who's been raised up in the church house, and when they reach ages of 18 and 19 and 20, amen, and I say this at my church, I don't know who in the world come up with the age of 18 that a teenager knows what they're doing, amen. At the age of 18, at the age of 21, Chris, I still Chris, I gotta be careful, my mama, you know who mama is tonight, amen, she's here, and I'm 40, so if I tell you how old I am, it tells you how old mama is back there, amen. Anyway, I'm at the age of 40 and I don't know it all. But at the age of 18, they feel like they know it all and they can just conquer it all. Amen. You've all been there. Can you say amen?
Yes.
Amen. But listen to me. They're getting older and they're making a choice. I just don't want to go to church no more.
Right. You're right.
And I'm concerned. Listen to me. I understand they make a choice. You listen to me. You may live as straight as a gun barrel. You may do everything right. You may dot all your I's and cross all your T's. And listen to me. They may still turn tail and run. But you just keep on calling their name out to a God in heaven. You know what? I still believe in the old time Holy Ghost conviction. He's able to take their sleep from them in the middle of the night. You say, preacher, I don't want to be too mean to them. I'll never forget this years ago. There was a fella. My, he got up and he preached. And tonight his daughter's sitting here. I'll just tell you who it was. Brother Leonard Brown, he's dead and gone. And Brother Leonard preached. And he'd been inviting some folks to come to church. Had been lost people. And it's for some reason that morning, on that Sunday morning, he got up to preach. And he preached on hell. And by the way, it's real. And everybody in here tonight, you're going to spend eternity in one of two places tonight. And he preached on hell. And some of the family members come to him afterwards, and it made them mad. And it upset them. And they said, my, we finally got him in the church house. And you got up and preached on hell. He said, I figured you'd rather know something about it now while they can do something about it. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight, church, somewhere or another, we ought to be we'll be more determined tonight in 2025. What amazing grace needs, by the way, is the people in the pews who'll say, from here on out, I'm going to be a nevertheless Christian. Amen. Go ahead. God, in this saying, am I the devil begin to fight? We read where Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites and Ogeshim, you can read about him as well. My, they begin to laugh and mock and make fun. And my, they listen to me, ever since I've got saved, the old devil, listen to me. Let me just say this real quick. Every morning that you wake up, if you don't meet that old booger head on, just stop what you're doing right then. Amen. Get down on your knees and begin to pray and say, Lord, listen to me. I believe this. Amen. Every born again child of God, we are in war with the enemy. You can turn over the book of Revelations over there, and I understand there's a lot of great spiritual depths in that. But I believe it's in Revelations in chapter number 12 where the dragon was wroth with the woman, and it went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Listen to me. Thank God we are at war with the devil tonight, and he's doing everything he can. I'm here to tell you tonight. Listen to me tonight, church. Listen, I believe this with all my heart. He wants me tonight. He wants you. But thank God for the blood. Thank God. God, there's a God in heaven who's watching over me. But I'm here to tell you tonight, we need some folks in the pew, some daddies, and listen to me, some men in the home who'll be some nevertheless Christians. Amen. In my house on Sunday morning, Brother Delmer, I know better than to go in there and ask my daddy on Sunday morning, what was we going to do today?
Amen.
That was never even a question. You didn't go in there and say, "Daddy, it's Sunday. What are we going to do today?" Oh, man. This has been my daddy's turn. My daddy would say, this is what my daddy would have said. Amen. I love my dad. My daddy loves me. Amen. He'd have said, "Are you a dummy right now? Are you for real right now?"
Yeah, brother.
I mean, on Sunday morning, amen, daddy was the head of the house. Amen. And we was going down to the house of the Lord. Come along Sunday afternoon after everybody had a Sunday nap. Amen. I didn't run back in there then and say, "What are we going to do tonight, daddy?"
Hallelujah.
Oh, midweek prayer service. And by the way, I grew up in the church house where we had midweek prayer service. It's going to kill most of you. Amen. It's on Friday night. Midweek prayer service at 7 o'clock on Friday night. And we didn't miss it when football season rolled around either. But instead, we just went on down to the house of God. Amen. Amen. Listen to me tonight. What we need is some nevertheless Christians. Amen. The devil's doing everything he can to hinder the church and the working of God. What we need is some men, amen, who'll step up to the plate. Our children's watching us, and they'll say, "Hey, I've said this before about my family and my children. Help my," listen to me. There's a lot of things. I believe, listen to me. I enjoy to play sports. I enjoy doing all those things and having a good time. Nobody likes to laugh and cut up any more than I do. Well, I take that back. Bugs York probably does. Amen. But listen to me. I have a good old time. But mine, those things are all fine in their place. But I said this. I want my children to be able to say when I'm laying in the casket, if there was anything that excited their daddy and got him most excited about, it was sitting down at God's house among God's people. Amen. Filling the Holy Ghost of God show up.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Nevertheless, all these people come about, begin to fight. Maybe tonight you've been struggling, going through some warfare. Maybe tonight the enemy's been bombarding your door. Maybe tonight's the night that you step up and say, "I'm going to be a nevertheless." In spite of all of that, however the fact, from here on out, I'm going to be more determined to serve God. I thought about this, Mama. Ladies, let me tell you something. You play such a great role and responsibility in your home. Now, I understand that today, that women have given up the role of a mother. Amen. Because they've got other things that they want to pursue. Amen. And somebody else is raising Johnny and Susie. Amen. Amen, and I understand everybody's got things they got to do, and I do understand. People say, "Preacher, you don't understand," but God does. He sure does. He sees. We don't really realize just what a deep statement that really is. Amen. Yes. He does see our heart, and He does really know. Amen. But I want to say this real quick. I believe I mentioned this as well down there Tuesday night. I thought about Moses' mother a lot lately. I mean, man, I just done some real studying and reading up. I mean, man, I don't know the exact time frame that she had with little baby Moses. I don't know what the exact age was when she took him down there. Finally, y'all know the story and how she got to raise Moses up. And she took him down there and turned him over to Pharaoh's daughter. And then Moses lived in the lap of luxury for the rest of his life. While he was there in the palace, he had everything at his fingertips. But in the book of Hebrews over there, Brother Delmer, it blesses my heart. In the book of Hebrews over there, he's listed in the heroes of faith. Heaven said this. It says Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for sin. My mind, when I read that some time ago, it automatically went back to Moses' mother. I thought about this. Ladies, what you need to be is a nevertheless Christian. That no matter what the world says, no matter what Hollywood says, hey man, you instill in them some godly values at an early age. Listen to me. I can remember going into my grandpa and my grandma's home. Hey man, I grew up beside my grandpa Arthur Nance. I couldn't tell you the times. Brother Dammer, he was down in the woods praying on a stump. He was in the middle of a cow barn. I mean, there was times I would go in and grandma be knelt down beside the couch calling her grandkids' name out to God in prayer. How long's it been since your children heard you calling their name out and say, "God, I pray you save their soul before they die lost and go to hell"?
Nevertheless, we do live in hard times in this world we live in today. Everything is geared against the church and God's people. Everything seems to be geared against, and it's just the working of Satan is all that it is. He's doing everything he can to hinder. Let me say this tonight. It seems like that you can mention the word God quite often, and there's a lot of gods out there today. There's a lot of people serving a lot of gods. But you begin to mention the name of Jesus. See, there's power.
That draws the line, brother. Yes, sir.
There's power in that name, Brother Chris. I mean, even in 2025, there's still power in his name. And the devil is doing all that he can. And just as in Nehemiah's day, seems like everybody around him was saying, hey, I mean, buddy, you listen to me. The devil's mad. If you're born again tonight, the devil's mad at you. And he's out to do everything he can. Amen. But what you need to do tonight is be determined to say, nevertheless. I think about another man. In the Old Testament scriptures, I try to hurry. In the book of Job, you read about a man by the name of Job. Man. In one day, Job was a man. Now listen to me. Job wasn't somebody who didn't have much, but Job was a man who had great possessions. He had a lot of wealth. He had a lot of things. God had blessed him. Amen. And he had a lot of things. And man, he lost everything he had in one day. I can't imagine. I mean, sometimes, amen, we get mad when we have a flat tire. Amen. My boy ain't here tonight. I was the other day. I told him, I said, you get the weed eater. And I said, by the way, it won't hurt you kids to do some chores. I said, get down there. Amen. You get that weed eater. Last Saturday, I said, you get that weed eater. He said, Daddy, it's hot. I said, I don't care. I said, get the weed eater. Get down and get the weed eater. He down there. He kindly ruined his weed eating trip. He got over mama's flower bushes, amen. Got fun of them. But anyway, I got standing out there behind the trees watching him. And this is what, man, I love the Lord. I love how he just shows us things, brother.
Yes, sir.
And he come around through there, brother. It was hot. Sweat rolling off his little face. It's good for him. Sweat rolling off his face. He told that weed eater. And he would go, I told him, I said, you would eat that fence row down through there and you get every fence post. And he come down there and he didn't know I was watching. He's going, and between each fence post, he let off the gas. And this is what I do. Between one fence post and the other. I stood up there, Lord says, like a lot of church people.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. I mean, they just complaining and grumbling. Amen. Brother Kevin says, well, Brother Kevin tonight got up. Amen. He made a list of announcements. Amen. The church is going to be doing. Everybody, a lot of folks probably, I just wonder, amen. You mentioned revival meetings. They think.
Preacher.
Oh, no. He going to expect me to show up out there, Kevin. Josh, I better go out there. He like, will call me. But whenever we get down to the house of God and God just slips his great big arm down around us.
Oh, yes.
Maybe you've had one of them weeks you've just been going, seem like everything just falling down around you. But the great comfort just shows up down there. And you know what you do? You forget about all that week had to offer. And you know what you do? You leave on a Wednesday night, maybe from Sunday night. Listen to me. That's why you need midweek prayer service. Amen. Maybe from Sunday night to Wednesday night. I've had those times before. Amen. Amen. The old devil just fought me up one side and down the other. But I go down to God's house, Brother Wendell. And on a Wednesday night, the Holy Ghost of God show up. And I leave and I'm saying to myself, nevertheless, in spite of what went on Monday and Tuesday night, on Thursday and Friday, I'm going to just serve God. Amen. Nevertheless, Job lost everything he had. Job went on as well in Job chapter number 14, verse number 1. He said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He mentions in the heartaches as well, my, his old friends come around and they just ragged him. I'm just paraphrasing. They said, "My goodness, Joe, you've bound to do something to get all of this. I mean, you've done something bad." I mean, then you read, I believe it's in chapter number 2. I mean, or maybe in chapter 1. Anyway, his own wife, she says, "Man alive," she said, "won't you just curse God and die?" Yeah. Amen. But Job was a nevertheless. Yeah. I mean, his old family, he lost everything. His wife said that. He said, "Why?" He said, "You speak like a foolish woman." Yeah. In other words, in spite of everything that's come on and happened to me, I wonder what kind of condition they've been. Sometimes, let me just stop right there to say this. Be real careful, amen, when a brother or sister go through something or other, and you stand over on the sideline and you say, "Well, if I was him, I'd do this." Or if I tell you what I do, this is what I do, amen. Until you're there, you don't know. You may end up in a worse pickle than what they're in by the choices that you would make, amen. But thank God for his goodness, thank God for his mercy, and thank God for his grace, amen. Nevertheless, Job was a nevertheless. You can read as well. Man, there's several of them. You can read as well. In the Old Testament scriptures about a man by the name of Joshua. Had this to me. He said this in Joshua chapter number 24, verse number 15. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, I choose you this day whom you're going to serve." Amen. He said the gods which your father served that are on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, nevertheless, all this other stuff's coming about. Listen to me today. What we need is some folks who'll get in this old-fashioned way. And by the way, there ain't but one way that leads to heaven. You got to go through the door. And his name's Jesus. Let me say this real quick. You can sign your name on the church roll book if you got one. I don't know, but it won't get you to heaven. But whenever you get born again, your name goes down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's the one that counts. You may be sitting here tonight, and your name ain't never been written down. Listen to me. I got enough confidence in the folks I know sitting in here. All you've got to do tonight, listen to me, when the altar calls, give. You don't have to wait till then, amen, if the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart. You just go to the altar, and there's a God in heaven who'll save your soul, and he'll change your whole world. He'll change your whole life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So don't try to tell me that I think a lot of folks who say they got something of it, and they ain't never been a change. When Jesus gets on the inside, there will be a definite change. Nevertheless, Joshua was a nevertheless. Job was a nevertheless. I think in the scriptures, amen, I think I stuck a bookmark over here in the New Testament scriptures. And let me just read this to you real quick. In St. Luke's Gospel in chapter number 5, I'll read a few verses here. Y'all know this story, amen. But it came to pass that as the people, this is verse number 1, the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." Listen to what he's telling him to do. This guy just come in, he's cleaning the nets, all right? He's done, all right? I've been fishing with Wendell Madewell, amen. When he gets done, he's done, amen, amen. Amen. And Simon was done. He was ready to put everything up. All right. And he said this in verse number 5. And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." Here's that word. Nevertheless. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. We need some Simons in the church. Maybe it's been a while since... Maybe God's been tugging at your heart for a little while. Listen to me. He said, I've been doing this and I've been doing that. You ever been, seem like you just been giving it y'all and you ain't been getting no word?
Go ahead.
Been there, brother.
Yeah.
It seemed like the Lord just show up. You say, "Let down your net." I'm like, "Well, Lord, I've had my net out, Lord.
Yeah,
I mean, I've been giving it all to God." He say, "Do it again." Yeah. You know what he wants me and you to do? Just be willing. Yeah. He wants somebody who will say, "Nevertheless." In spite of all that's going on, in spite of the way that Hollywood says you have to raise your children, in spite of the way everybody else says this is the way you got to live your life, hey, listen to me. What you need to do is say, "Nevertheless, in spite of all that, I'm just going to serve God." It'll make a difference. Let me tell you something another. It'll never get right in here with you until it gets right in here first. And then it'll get right in the home. And when it gets right in the home,
yes.
See, God instituted and set up the home and the family way before He ever built the church.
That's right.
And then when it gets right in the home, you'll be amazed what can happen when you go down to the house of God. Whenever folks in the pews get to where they say, nevertheless, you know what? There's a lot of folks who come to church on a Wednesday night and they could have testified. And they maybe could have sung a song. But they let the troubles of this life and the problems of the world and everything that's been going all week long, some of you probably guilty of that tonight. But if you would have just said, nevertheless. Some people today, I tell you what our services need. And I know I said this at the beginning, and I still believe with all my heart, what they need is the Holy Ghost in the midst. It ain't more eloquent speakers and fancier preachers. We just need the Holy Ghost to show up. I'm going to tell you something. I already told you I'm nothing and I'm nobody, but God's somebody. And when He shows up, I'm going to tell you something another. When He shows up in the midst, Brother Kevin, in our bestest ability, God do things, son, we can't even begin to attain to. When God shows up, Brother Dalmer, He begins to touch the heart, begin to speak to souls. I'm going to tell you something. Our churches today are missing those things. And it starts with you and I just being obedient, saying, nevertheless, I'm going to serve God. Listen to me, church. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. We're going to have you saying, preacher, as a fellow, whenever the COVID thing come about, there's a fellow told me this. He said, well, listen, he said, if you're born again, you can't get COVID. And I said, you have bumped your head. I said this, amen. You can die with COVID. Yes, it sure was crazy, amen. You can die with COVID and go to heaven. But if you ain't got the blood applied, and you don't ever get the COVID, you'll die lost and spend eternity in the charred walls of hell. I'm here to tell you tonight, church, it starts with each one of us as individuals. Some time ago, years ago, I hadn't been pastoring very long, and a fellow called me up. This fellow had been pastoring for a lot of years in another county, and he was asking me how things was going, and a little church, the first church I pastored, just a small church, man, God was faithful. By the way, it just takes two or three to show up in His name. Sir. Amen. Thank God. Listen to me. I believe we ought to want to pack the church house out every service we come in here. And we ought to do all we can to invite and get them to come in. But I'm going to tell you something. If just two or three show up in His name, He'll show up as well. But the fellow said this. He said, well, sometimes. He said, I'm going to give you some advice, brother. He said, brother, I want to give you some advice. He said, sometimes. He said, you may have to just try to work some things up. Got real quiet, and I said, brother, I was raised a little old-fashioned. And I said, I feel like that if God don't show up, there ain't nothing that this old boy could ever work up to ever impress God, to get Him to take notice and say, well, I believe I'll go down there and just show up. But you just go with a humble heart and a willingness, amen. Listen to me. You know what it takes to have the nevertheless attitude? Willingness. I thought about the word nevertheless, in spite of that, or however. I thought about if the tables was turned and God tonight was to use that word on some of us. I thought tonight that if the Lord was to pass through the midst, and you say, well, I'm here every, because this month you're having your services on Thursday night, normally on Wednesday night. Well, preacher, I'm here every Wednesday night. I try my best to get here every Sunday morning. I even tithe and I even sing in the choir. But the Lord would say, nevertheless. See, there was some that they prophesied in His name. They done many wonderful works in His name. But yet He said, I never knew you. Depart from me. I never knew you. Nevertheless. And you may come, listen to me, young people, My, what a blessing, amen. I heard about several here a few services ago who got saved here. I say, praise the Lord for that. Those that got saved this week down at camp, I say, hallelujah. Those are brands that's been plucked from the burning, amen. Listen, if you're born again tonight, that ought to stir your heart. That ought to put a smile on your face, amen. Just to know that God's still in the soul-saving business, as Brother Kevin said earlier tonight. But I'm here to tell you tonight, listen to me, young people. Just because your daddy and mama come to church, or just because you're here every service, that don't save you. You might say, well, I've been going all my life, preacher. Been going there all my life. Nevertheless, we need some Christians in the church who'll be a nevertheless Christian. Nehemiah's day, they faced great opposition. In verse 8, they conspired all of them. Every one of them decided to come together. We're going to fight against them. We're going to do everything we can to hinder it. Listen to me now. I'll hurry come to a close. The devil's going to do everything he can to hinder your spiritual relationship with the Lord. And if somewhere or another, listen to me. I can point a finger at Brother Kevin Sexton all day long and say, it's him, it's because of him.
Right.
But until I can admit that I'm the problem. Sometimes we go, and listen to me, thank God it's a place that we can come pray and pour our heart out and pour our burdens out to the Lord.
Yeah.
Scripture tells us, casting all our care upon him, for he careth for us. I'm glad for that. But I'm here to tell you tonight, sometimes we all just get down on our knees and say, it's me, oh Lord.
Yeah.
Standing in the need of prayer.
Yes.
Not my brother, not my sister, Brother Wayne, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Lord, I hear lately I've just been discouraged, been going through some valleys, maybe been going through some trials in life. You know what God can do? He can help you charge your nevertheless attitude tonight.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something, other. We need some folks in the church, some daddies, some mamas, some grandpas, some grandmas, and some young people who say, nevertheless. Young people, you're fixing to go back to school. School's fixing to soon start. Some of you will go back to school, face things. Our children today are facing things inside the schoolhouse. I mean, it's such early in elementary schools. My, the things, the devil is doing everything he can. What you're going to have to do is be determined, say, nevertheless. In spite of everything that the devil is trying his best to do, I'm going to serve God. I thought about some who down through the years that I've known in my lifespan, some who've been some of them nevertheless Christians. I'll tell you this, and I'm not just saying this because you're here tonight, but listen, many of them, but right over here sits one.
That's right. Yes,
down through the years, since I was big enough, listen to me, that man right over there ain't changed.
Right. Thank God.
Nevertheless, just kept right on going.
Yep.
It'll make a difference.
Yes, sir.
Listen to me. By the way, let me throw this in here. You invite your neighbor to church, but you ain't so faithful yourself, and you wonder why they won't never come and go with you. And they see you, well, they're probably scratching their head looking out the window on Sunday, and they say, well, looks like they're going to the lake today.
Yeah.
Well, looks looks like they're just maybe having a barbecue today, you know. I got some from my church here tonight, so listen to me. I've got them in my church as well. I said this. I don't know why in the world, but it seems like the Sunday has become the day.
That's right. Yeah.
That we plan to do everything. Yeah. Preacher,
we
got a family gathering today.
Yeah.
We can't.
Right. Every one of them.
Won't be there Sunday, brother.
That's good preaching, Ken.
That's good, brother.
I'm just saying, I wonder.
Amen.
Now I know why it's a year and a half before Kevin got me back out here to preach last time. Amen. He got the memo. Amen. He said, don't do that again, brother. Listen to me. I'm afraid. I'm afraid, amen. That's what we've come to in our churches today. But it ought to be evident. Listen to me. I remember a time. That listen to me on Sundays, my, whenever it was revival times, my, I'll never forget whenever I played basketball and no, I wasn't no good. But whenever I played, and listen to me, my dad said, that'll be just fine, you can play. He said, listen to me, if we have a revival meeting or if something happens down at the church house,
yes, sir.
He didn't miss church and I was going down there.
All right.
That was another one of them things. That is, are you a dummy? Amen. We went down. We went. I'm just saying we have changed today.
Yep. You're right.
Notice I, he ain't changed.
That's right.
You tell me how far we've went today.
Right.
Nevertheless, some or another. Folks, man, I was so stirred just a few weeks ago. Man, I thought I was in a valley. Mind just the old devil. I can't tell you, man, I love to read the book of Nehemiah a lot of times. I like to just turn reading the Old Testament, some of the accounts and things that was given there. My, how they stir my heart. And, man, I had read that portion of Scripture. I couldn't tell you how many times, man, I read that. Let me tell you this real quick, too. When you read your Bible, I encourage you, when you read the Word of God, the King James Version, when you read it, if you come to something other and you're not certain what that word means, get you an old dictionary. And you look up what that word means. It'll make that verse bring on a brand new meaning.
That's right.
I mean, man, it'll sometimes just open it up, Brother Emmer, what that verse really means. Turned over there, man, you don't hear the word nevertheless much no more. Nobody usually uses that terminology anymore. And I broke down and I began to cry. I said, God help me. I got down on my knees. I said, Lord, help me be a nevertheless. My children, my church, they need to see a preacher, a pastor who's nevertheless. In spite of all else that goes on, be a nevertheless Christian. It'll make a difference. Nevertheless. What category would you fall in tonight? I just mentioned just a few. There's others that we can mention in the Scriptures tonight who was a nevertheless Christian who faced some hard times. Church, from here on out, I wish I could tell you tonight that it's going to be a smooth sailing, but the Bible said it would wax worse and worse. Listen to me, but I have read the back of the book.
Hey! Yes! Yes!
I'm going to read one more verse to you. They said, preacher, he ain't never going to hush.
Go ahead!
In 2 Timothy chapter number 2.
Yep.
You read about Paul was writing to young Timothy, and he was just writing about this unsound doctrine, and he says this in verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, and who concerning the truth of errors, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. And all that's going on around us, everything, my, that the devil is doing, he's fighting us and doing everything he can. I mean, these false doctrines, the devil's doing everything. I'm here to tell you today, church, I mean, the devil's doing everything he can, brother, to hinder the work of God. He's doing everything he can to hinder our relationship with the Lord. But verse number 19 says this, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And no matter what you say, or you try to convince me or Brother Kevin, nevertheless, the Lord knows them that's his.
That's right. I'll guarantee you.